You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we look at USMNT's chances in these three International World Cup qualifiers. We also talk about the NWSL and their contract negotiation issues, and we have a fun little debate about it. Also, we praise El Dominicano Kevin Paredes going to Germany. This is going to be exciting.
That's right. Plus, I'm writing the debate. But then we talk to Ana Yurka from Telemundo. She's absolutely incredible. This is the proudest moment for both my mom and Christian's mom. And then find out why. We make Ana Yurka punch and kick the sky, that and more today on the Cooligans.
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Allie Krieger, and you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby.
Yes.
Is there a reason you're pointing at that?
Let us go. Yeah, that is, that's the, you know, instead of, we could just scream football. Yeah. That could be a good goal call. Now that I think about it.
Just the name of the sport. Like if an MLS they score, you just yell soccer. Actually, that's probably the perfect thing to yell because of our guest today. You know what
that's
I mean?
That's right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show right here on Football Sports Network.
It's also the gulliest. Come on, you guys already know. Why are we
okay.
even doing this?
You've been
you know?
Here before, okay? like Alexis mentioned, our guest today is Ana Yurka from Telemundo Deportes. We have an incredible conversation with her. I connect with our roots of Telemundo. You know what I mean? It's an important institution for us.
If you guys don't care about this episode, I don't care because this is really... for our mom's fridges. You know what I mean? This is going to be printed out and put on them fridges. That's all this is for.
Yeah, this is, essentially our, like, elementary school report card this episode, okay? We're trying to make mommy proud. So, Ana Yurka will be joining us in a moment. Let's start... This obviously it's a big next couple days of international window, you know, a proper FIFA international window. We're gonna have some World Cup qualifiers back in our lives. The stress.
I was about to ask you, where's your level of stress with this window? We've got Honduras, El Salvador, and Mexico, right?
Right.
Not easy. We're also playing inside of a large restaurant's walk-in refrigerator. So,
There's like, why is there meat hanging on off the ceiling?
I don't know. There's all types of cured meat. And then, when was the last time you threw out these clams? Which is why is Gordon Ramsay here?
Right. But it's not Mexico. It is Canada. The three is El Salvador, Canada, and Honduras.
El Salvador. Yeah. Yeah. Which Canada? Why we should play that in Tahiti if we can get them cold boys out of there? But why? Where is your level of stress? Like, how difficult do you think this window is going to be? Because I'm not that worried, and that's got me worried. You know what I mean?
I feel less stressed than Mexico national team fans probably are. I think they're on their...
But that could be perpetual. They could already have qualified, and for some reason, there's less stress on this side of the border. You know?
So I feel a little bit better than most of their fans right now. But for the U.S. men's national team, I feel like the... You know, some people are saying this should be a 9-point window and blah, blah, blah. And like, we got to stop that with perfection being the standard.
Okay, well then let's stop it right after I ask you this. How many points do you think we're going to get from this window? But the right answer, then we'll stop.
We're going to get 15 points this window. Hey. I don't know how it's going to work, but that's what I expect.
Oh, you didn't hear about it. You've heard of extra time. You never heard of extra credit, my G. There's extra points to be had.
Okay. I mean, look, add a 3-point line or whatever you got to do to soccer.
Dude, a 2-goal line? Bro, you think that wouldn't hit so hard? You love the NBA. Imagine it with their feet. You know what I mean?
So the I would say realistically, 6 points is the most is what my expectation. I think a loss to Canada, Canada at home is a possibility. Canada has been really, really good. The only thing, they don't have Alphonso Davies.
To lose?
No, I'm not expecting to lose. I'm just saying it's a possibility. So I expect 6 points. I expect the wins against El Salvador and Honduras.
If you expect 6 points, that means you expect 2 wins and a loss, which means you expect to lose to Canada.
I expect those. If I'm pleasantly surprised with a point in Canada, I think that'd be great. So, the 6 points, I think, is realistic here.
I actually think Canada will probably be our easiest match. Of the three, because I think Honduras and El Salvador are just going to play us gritty as hell.
Okay,
I think those two are going to be the gulliest matches. And if you look at the squad we put out, yeah, they're playing in Europe. Yeah, they're a little bit more, you know, sort of tactically developed than our previous generations, you know, but they're a little bit too comfortable. Them boys in El Salvador and Honduras, you know, them losing means a lot of uncomfortable comment. Grandma's not picking up. I won't pick up the phone no more. You know what I mean? There's a lot more that's on the line. You know, if I'm the U.S. men's national team, if they lose, ain't nobody going to know what is Weston McKennie going to get made fun of. You know what I mean? While he's eating pasta in Italy. I mean, that's it. You know what I mean? They can
pasta
come home
ranch,
and unchanged.
You know?
You know what I mean? They keep slapping the ranch out of his hand as he's trying to put it on pizza in Italy, in Turin. That's it. You know what I mean? It's going to be a lot worse for them Central American boys. I think in Canada, they think they're great. They're number one. They're feeling high on themselves. They're going to come into this game sunglasses on. You know what I mean? They're going to be too cool, too comfy. You know?
Yeah, typical Canadian confidence. We all know about it.
Too
We've
much
all heard
flair,
about this.
You know? Where do they get all this swag from? Is this Drake's fault? It's going to be a lot of that.
Alphonso Davies is not going to be playing in this game. He had the issue with the myocarditis. So he had a slightly inflamed heart. And we obviously hope for full recovery and hope he's okay. So I think this will be the one advantage probably that the U.S. or disadvantage for Canada. But this is where, you know, Alphonso Davies is just an incredible offensive threat,
right.
even being a fullback. So
he makes that offense tick because he can get past your midfield within seconds. You know what I mean?
And he can get back on defense before
you're like, midfielding. I swear there's two of them. This dude got twins. I don't care what anybody says.
But the thing here, and I think a lot of people are sort of annoyed with, is the weather situation, right? And the fact that these games are going to be held in Minnesota and in Ohio. It's going to be cold. You're seeing the training photos. It's snowing. And then on top of that, they're going to Canada. So it's just like, you're not going to out-cold Canada. Canada will be like, okay,
oh, you're going to play in the northern part of your country? Do you want to play in the northern part of our country? Because I would suggest you get a couple dogs and a sled if you want to make it to where we're going to play this game.
Okay, there's no cars cannot ride on the ice over here, okay?
Yeah. I've been so far north in Canada when I was a kid that I asked the tour guide or whatever, the guy who was, really it was a bus. It was the guy who was driving the bus. And I go, why do all the cars have like a plug hanging out of them? And he was like, oh, it's because it's so cold up here. You have to plug the cars in at night and it keeps the oil warm. Because if not, your oil freezes overnight. And I was like, what made you people stay here? Have you heard of Florida? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, why are you living here? That's where Canada could play this game.
It is. At the very least, it's irresponsible, right? Let's not be crazy. You know,
do you think it's an advantage though to play these games in? Remember, Minnesota was colder than the moon last year, or the year before? Don't you remember that? It was colder in Minnesota than the moon.
So they keep track, obviously, of the temperature of the moon, and they
this is the part that surprises you of what I just said.
That Minnesota,
is that they know
the
weather
moon
of the moon
was more comfortable to live in than Minnesota.
No one said that. It was warmer on the moon than it was in Minnesota, or maybe it was Buffalo. It might have been Buffalo.
I cannot. When you say anything of scientific fact, I'm like, there's no way. No, we need to get someone to corroborate this evidence because there's no way this is accurate. But who knows?
It's 100% true. All right, Christian. Right now, this next topic, hotter than the moon. I don't know if you know that.
also, we did confirm or we verified Alexis's statement from before.
Right.
And it wasn't that Minnesota was colder than the moon, but it was colder than Mars.
Right. So, which starts with an M, a little bit further away, even more impressive. I was giving you credit. And by the way, it didn't say it wasn't colder than the moon. So that's still a possibility. Let's talk about the NWSL, because this is, I guess, disappointing is probably the term, right? Again, we're recording this on Wednesday, so things may have cleared up by now. But as it looks right now, a lot of NWSL stars are posting hashtag contract now and an NWSLPA statement that basically states that the league is no longer negotiating the contract. They've put out their what they call their best offer. And I guess it's not
they
good enough.
They said they don't negotiate with terrorists. What? Damn. Why did they say that?
Well, you're certainly not going to have a good negotiation if you're calling his names. But they refused to negotiate further than the last offer, and it's not good enough, so it's not going to get signed. And it looks like we're heading towards some type of strike, or at least a work stoppage of sort. And, you know, with the way the NWSL is building, with the momentum and you know, the added eyes, this could be a real shame, but you got to side with the players here.
Yeah, I mean, look, after 2021 and the, you know, obviously the bombshell article from Meg Linehan, just all the kind of just issues being raised with the league and pay and no more side hustles. And obviously fans want to support players, and the players clearly have the leverage now, and that's obvious. But look, it's kind of surprising that there isn't no agreement in place. You can probably understand that this is a pivotal time to be an NWSL player and say, hey, you know, we've dealt with a lot of these problems. Within this agreement, we want to kind of prevent experiencing these negative things again, whether it's with abusive coaches, whether it's with you know, dealing with pay, whether it's where you're going to train and all. So the players are like, look, let's just fix this right now so that the, you know, next generation of players are, you know, this is a sort of an afterthought and they're not experiencing any of this stuff. So I think they're pushing and asking for a lot, and which is probably, you know, well-deserved and reasonable to ask for. So, but we don't know the details of what they're asking for, and we don't know the details of what the league is kind of pushing back against. And you can imagine that the league, the board of governors or whatever, are probably don't want to give too much here in this in negotiation, but we probably will never know what it is, what the details are. But this
I feel
is
like eventually we'll know. And the part that I disagree with you on is that you said the players have leverage. What leverage do they have? I mean, it sucks. I wish it weren't that way, but what leverage do the players have?
Well, they provide the labor of for the league and provide the product. So that
I disagree. I think the league is the product. You know what I mean? Like, those players couldn't go. I mean, they could essentially, but it would be very difficult for them to go start their own league, right? The league itself is the product. The clubs are the product. The players wearing those shirts, you could argue that some of them are the reason that, you know, the people come into the stands and watch it. And the reason why the, you know, the TV contracts are where they are and the reason the sponsors are where they are is because there's certain players that play in that league. But really, for the overwhelming majority of them, they could be replaced by other players and the fans of those teams would still be fans of those teams. You know, those clubs would still have the ticket sales that they have. And this is the part that's and this is why I think it's so important for the players to win this negotiation. And like you said, we don't know what the ins and outs are of it, but you would assume that they're asking for more money, or at least more money on an average, so that players don't have to live with host families. So players don't have to go and get second jobs, don't have to go play in another league in their offseason and actually get a chance to rest their bodies so that they can make ends meet, you know, things like that. They don't have to do those things. But the truth of the fact is most of these players don't get paid a true living wage. You know what I mean? And it's unfortunate, but the owners know they could put out a substandard offer and sit back and say, if you strike, most of you are not going to be able to hold out for as long as you think you can, because I'm sure you haven't been able to save your money. Maybe you have responsibilities, you have families. It sucks.
Yeah, but it is the PR hit that they would take if that is
a bad PR hit.
I'm just saying,
it doesn't matter.
It is doubling down on something even worse to when you know these players are suffering and some players are struggling.
These are billionaires, dude.
They're not all billionaires.
Sure, these are multimillionaires at most.
Not every team can take this hit of like, oh, whatever, we just won't play games.
This is a loss leader. This is a reason. This is a write-off on most of their taxes. If they lose this, they were like, oh, well, who was that lady that they wanted to get out of the Atlanta dream? The terrible politician, Kelly Loeffler, was it?
Loeffler.
This woman, she didn't care. She was like, hey, I gave you a team. If you don't want me to have it, fine. I mean, she still got to sell her stock before everybody else. You know what I mean? Like, this is just another line item on their taxes.
Alexis, everybody knows she was a confirmed terrorist. We've sorted that out already.
And you don't negotiate with these people. By the way, you need to throw a lot of allegedlys on this show if you're going to say that. Like, my point is, they've already lost the court of public opinion. They're already considered bad by the fans because you're an owner. Inherently, the fans don't like you. You lose nothing by holding out. You lose more by giving in now and then giving in again in the next CBA. And look, I'm siding with the players. It doesn't sound like it. I'm siding with the players. But me, having the evil brain that I have, that I should have been a billionaire, right? I'm letting you know this is what they're saying. It's like, yo, they don't like us anyway. So what? We don't lose anything. The court of public opinion matters nothing. That's like Kyle Martino and all these people that were running for president that 1 year of U.S. soccer. Everyone's like, they're the guy. Meanwhile, you know, what's his name? Carlos Cordero was out doing the work of shaking the hands of the people that were going to vote. Lost the court of public opinion, got the job. It doesn't matter. Right. What we think and how we feel doesn't matter unless we can affect the pocket of these owners. And it does the league to them, unless this is their only thing, it doesn't matter to them enough to say, let's give you everything. Because they stand more to gain by giving you nothing and waiting you out and starving you out.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just the optimist here. I think the NWSL and the board of government, they should do the right thing. But but I also don't think that that teams like Angel City, San Diego, Kansas City, a lot of these newer teams, new ownership that are, you know, trying to make the league look better, make the clubs more exciting, make the sport more interesting. I don't think they're willing to take that hit. That's just, you know,
you're talking about what, 25% of the league?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But they have an influence on the decisions of what happens in the whole. So
25%.
There's clearly disagreement within.
It ain't enough.
The owners. All right. Well, look, we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's going to be a decision in the next couple of days.
We're either going to
have a lockout or we're going to see NWSL preseason. So we'll see. I'm hoping we see some games. All right. Okay. We'll argue a little bit more a little bit later about something else, I'm sure. Que lo que, mi gente, we are back and we have to start with the Dominican excellence that is happening right now in the world. We have to show love. We have to give them their flowers because one, we have to focus
on everyone who is in Dominican. Why don't you go make yourself a cup of coffee?
Okay, this segment ain't for you. Okay, no, but DC United's Kevin Paredes. It is being reported right now that a deal is almost over the line. I think that it's just pending a physical, according to Tom Bogert of MLSsoccer.com. So Kevin Paredes, the midfielder for DC United, will be making a transfer to Wolfsburg in Bundesliga. And this is Kevin Paredes. I've been on the show. The young Dominican American phenom. Okay, right. The homie himself. So if you're counting,
that's now two Americans in a Bundesliga relegation battle. You've got Wolfsburg in 15th, and you got Augsburg with Ricardo Pepi in 16th.
Okay, the reported fee is $7 million. It's kind of interesting because a lot of DC United fans were hoping to see Kevin Paredes kind of grow at DC United.
Well, this is the impressive part. He didn't do the thing that you would imagine like Ricardo Pepi did and a lot of players did, which is like make that, you know, start for a full season and shine move yet.
Yeah.
DC United, like, you know, Brendan Aaronson played for a couple seasons, showed he was incredible, gets the move to Europe. Kevin Paredes hasn't started every game of a season, hasn't been a lock-in starter. He's still in that development stage. And Wolfsburg saw that and still put out a pretty good fee.
Yeah. I mean,
for essentially a kid.
It's, look, but yes, when you got an eye for talent like Wolfsburg does, and you see a Dominican phenom like Kevin Paredes, you're like, you know what? We know this is going to work because you can see the potential, the shine. Right.
They called him, and the first thing they said in the German accent was "que lo que." You know what I mean? Okay.
I'm like,
I hope he Dominicans it up too when he shows up. You know what I mean? He shows up with a hookah. You know? he shows up dressed like Big Papi,
right? And Big Papi, we saw Big Papi just got inducted into the Hall of Fame, and we saw what he was wearing. Okay, you see the fit.
You think it's a baseball Hall of Fame, dude? He got inducted into two, the baseball and the Tigre Hall of Fame.
You know? Okay, we need to see Kevin bring that style to Alemania, bro. That's what we need.
Bro, we need the clothing to be so bright that all them Germans, when you turn around, are wearing sunglasses. You know what I mean? They're peeling back like this. I need fine silks to make its way to Germany.
Okay, man. So I'm absolutely proud for Kevin Paredes. So shouts to you. I'm sure him and his family are incredibly excited. All right, we're going to be talking to another Latino in just a little bit. Ana Yurka of Telemundo will be joining us. So come right back.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this podcast episode. We just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors. Actually, it's us, and it's our Twitch channel.
That's right. You know, you've seen us on Fubo TV. You've listened to us on the podcast. Maybe you've clicked like on one of our personal seductive photos on Instagram. Okay?
You know how we love those thotty pics.
Okay. We know the game. All right. We're not going to.
Anything for likes and views, baby.
Yo, that's what you got to do nowadays. But we're also on Twitch. We live stream every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time for Prem Show. But we do other stuff as well. We do watch-alongs. We interview people. We play FIFA. And we're going to be doing a lot more stuff on there. So join us on Twitch. Hit the follow button. It is free.
That's right. So just go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans or make it easy for yourself and just go to eltwitche.com. That's eltwitche.com. And that'll bring you right to our account. And hit that follow button right now. What you waiting for? All right, Christian, our guest is finally here. And what an honor. I got a chance to do a quick interview with this person in the middle of the halftime of a Premier League match. It was on Telemundo, and it was the first time. I've been a comedian for 12 years. I graduated college with 2 degrees in 3 years. And it's the first time my mother's been proud of me. It's because I spoke to this person. And you have no idea.
You know, whenever you say the 2 degrees thing, I'm like, how did he barely can read. How did he get both of them?
See, but the thing is, you don't have to take any tests if you just walk in and steal 2 degrees off the wall. I mean, why? I don't understand why this is a big issue.
No questions asked.
But let's talk to our guest. I mean, look, I got 2 degrees. I don't know who these guys' names are on there. But let's talk to our guest. The absolute honor, the pride, and I'm going to say this wildly incorrectly, Tegucigalpa. I hope I said that correct. The pride of Tegucigalpa, Honduras. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ana Yurka, everybody.
Ana, what's up?
Hey! Thank you so much. And please kiss your mother for me. And I really want to know, what school did you attend it?
Yeah. I went to Clown College. No, I'm joking. Yeah.
That's great because you're always making people laugh. Christian, nice to meet you.
Nice to finally meet you as well. I know you met Alexis, yes, at Premier League Live, and it was so cool to see that. You know, it was an exciting thing for the Cooligans to get some representation on Telemundo. You are obviously at Telemundo Deportes, and probably the first question I have to ask, because like Alexis mentioned, how proud his mom was to see him on Telemundo. We all grew up on Telemundo. My parents are from Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. It was on all the time, all the characters, all the shows, from novelas to news. It is an institution that is very important to the Latino community. So what is it simply like getting to work there and build your career at Telemundo?
Oh, thank you. That's so nice. I'm glad you watched La Doctora Polo and all the novelas. All day. My mom does the same thing. It is honestly, it's a blessing. I know it is a huge blessing for me because I used to watch it when I was growing up. I was watching Maria Celeste and El Rojo Vivo and everything. And I was like, hey, one day I might be on TV and I wish I could be just like her doing my thing and everything. And now I come to this building and I'm kind of like the mayor of Telemundo Center. I know everyone. I know if there was a voting situation, I would be crowned the mayor of Telemundo. Yeah. It's really cold inside Telemundo. And at the same time, it's warm because we're all Latinos. It's very like, it's crazy because we get the Cubans, the Dominicans, the Colombians, a Honduran. It's wild.
We got to ask the question. You guys are probably in cubicles and stuff. Who's the loudest on the phone? Be honest. Who are the loudest people?
I don't know. That's a fair competition. I'm from Honduras, and trust me, I am louder than a lot of Cubans around here. So
that's
I think
impressive.
That's a Latino thing. That's a Latino
impressive
thing.
Because Cubans whispering could blow out your earlobe. You know what I mean?
Like, oye, ¿quién es vecino?
Oh yeah. No se lo diga a nadie, pero lo que te voy a decir aquí mismo es un secreto. It's the, you know, the neighbors.
We're in the
know.
Middle of a Premier League game, and we're like this. And Manuel Sol is saying something. Copan Alvarez doing the play-by-play, and all of a sudden, a Cuban. Hey, who wants cafecito? Yeah. It's crazy. But I think it's a Latino thing. We all scream. Right.
Forget who's the loudest. Which accent was the most difficult for you to become comfortable with? Because sometimes, for those of us in the Caribe, it's a little difficult to understand Mexicans when they speak, especially together, because it's a little sing-songy. And then the first time I heard two Dominicans talk to each other, I was like, I don't even think that's Spanish. And I know Cubans, we barely finish
trouble.
Any words.
No, you're going to get me in trouble with that question.
But when you move from Honduras to Florida, at first, what was the most difficult accent for you to sort of relate to or
I'm
understand?
Sorry, Christian. I have to say Dominicans. I still have a hard time. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't understand.
You know what? It's because there's too much swagger
I thought these Jamaicans had to speak Spanish. I'm like, wait, that's Spanish?
No, but honestly, I used to work in a local station in Orlando. That's when I started living in the States. And I used to go and cover the Tampa Bay Rays games or the Orlando Tragic. I mean, the Orlando Magic. And whenever there was someone, you know, like when you are doing color stories with the audience, what did you think about the game or whatever, and the Dominican started talking, I was like, sure.
Hilarious. No, man, it is such a cool thing. And, you know, and as far as, you know, being Latinos in soccer, right? A Cuban, a Dominican in the American soccer world, even to other Latinos, we have to prove ourselves, right? You know, it's like this weird hierarchy or whatever. But it must be a cool thing, you know, especially on Telemundo. I remember, you know, Alexa had mentioned you were asking him about Liga MX. Mm-hmm. And what team to support, and you know, from as a journalist, as a reporter, making those, you know, did you make a decision on a team to support? Do you have to stay neutral? What's it like for you?
I think that was in the old times. I think now I think we are all allowed to say, hey, I support this team or that team.
Yeah.
I think it even gives you more credibility, because if we are saying, hey, I love this team, I'm going to suffer with this team, I'm going to support it. But at the same time, whenever I'm talking about, a game specific and they suck and the other one is doing good and you're saying it, it gives you more credibility. I think now we're more open to say it. Now, I don't remember if I told you which team
Chivas,
you should support. I like the Chivas because they're all Mexicans. And I think the more teams in our countries how this system, it's better for the national teams. That's right, just right. My opinion. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just think that. So I like supporting Chivas, although they suck. They're really, really, really bad. I don't know if you guys should go for Necaxa. Maybe you guys can adopt Necaxa. You know, they have long enough history to be respected. Necaxa. I don't know, they're cute because it was Don Ramon's team, you know, from El Chavo del Ocho.
Oh, wow.
Necaxa played a friendly against our MLS team, NYCFC, a couple years ago. This was a preseason match. So I'm watching and I'm like, oh, you know what? This is maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I'm like, oh, the level of MLS has to be at a pretty even with Liga MX Necaxa. Who, like, yeah, you know, with all due respect, I was like,
who
what?
Cares
what
about Necaxa?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I watched the game and I'm like, are we like a U14 team playing against? Why are they so good? I mean, and but just the level of pretty much, you know, a top table or lower table. Liga MX team is still pretty high.
But I want to be, you know, look, I already suffer. I'm an Arsenal fan. I've had a good time watching NYCFC. I know, right? I've watched NYCFC win a trophy. It's been amazing. I want more. Mm-hmm. So why shouldn't I just become a, you know, like a Club America fan? Right?
No. That's easy. Okay. It's whatever. Oh yeah, my team. I go for Real. It's easy to be a Real Madrid fan, a Manchester United fan, now a Manchester City fan. I mean, no, you have to choose a team where you are suffering, and they right. had their good times, like Necaxa had. You know, the good times in the 90s and everything from the 90s is coming back. So you could do Necaxa.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
What about Rayados? They got that cool mountain in the background.
No, they're too powerful. They have too much money.
Got the most money? It's Club America, right?
No, we're poor people. We cannot be Regios. Okay.
I'm already a Knicks fan. I wish we were the Orlando Tragic. You know what I mean?
That's well, you know what? Yes. Unless he suffers a lot already.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, you know what? No. Yeah.
I'll be an Americanista.
The other, I also wanted to talk maybe a little bit about Liga MX Femenil, right? Because we've been seeing a couple incredible matches. You know, the support is really, really there. Even, you know, the internet is still, you know, either that machismo, that just like dumb comments and stuff like that. But when you see the level of support, especially in Liga MX Femenil, there's been some incredible matches with tons and tons of fans. What's that kind of feeling like to get to see something like that and then to cover it a little bit as well?
It's really cool because you know that they're getting there. You know, it's getting better. Before, you didn't see anybody in the stadiums. Like, you know, they would get the girls playing, like, I don't know, 2 hours before the men's team, just to get, like, entertain people. You know, like whenever when they do that with the youngsters, right? So nobody knew who they were. And all of a sudden, I think after France 2019, I think after the World Cup, this last World Cup in France, the women's soccer got a lot more attention. And in Mexico, you've seen the clasicos, like the Clásico Regio. We're making fun about how rich the regios are, like Monterrey and Tigres. But they do things good and they are investing in them. And you can see, like, I remember I was watching a Clásico Regio like a couple of tournaments ago. And I was literally crying because it was full. It was the full stadium, like just cheering on them. And it was really, really cool. But they still have a lot of work to do.
Okay. Okay.
What do you think about, like, you know, when it comes to the national teams, obviously, you know, whether it's women's or men's, there's a ton of passion in Mexico for the national team. But there's also, with that comes all of the pressure on top of that. Now, you obviously, you're Hondureña, but being with Telemundo, you have to cover the Mexican national team. It's probably the most important unit that you cover at Telemundo, probably gets the most attention. What is it like for, you know, Tata Martino. Is it, you know, is he comfortable right now? Is there pressure? Is he sweating? Is there ever a chance to relax when you're the national team? Right? Has the water started to recede? And what do you think? You think they have a chance making this World Cup?
I think they're starting to, they started to think, you know how that meme on social media, whenever they used to see, you start seeing Bartism getting like this, yeah. I think they're starting to get Tata Martino like that and trying to, and they're getting like, you know, those ghosts from Chepo de la Torre coming back, because they're suffering. I mean, this next game is so important. Like, if they don't win this game, he's gonna be in deep trouble. Yeah. In deep trouble. Because, I mean, come on, they had a horrible 2021. Right. They lost the three games against the U.S. and horrible. Yeah. The Nations League final was first. Then I think it was the Copa Oro final, and then the
World Cup qualifier.
The qualifying game. Yeah. So no. Trust me. If they would watch the women's national team playing right now, they would be happy with them. I mean, Licha Cervantes, that girl, she's like, give it to me. I'm going to score everything I get. But when it comes to the men right now, they're just not getting it. Well, so they're better pick it up.
If they can't find goals, call her up instead. They're not calling Chicharito. So, you know, they need help.
No. He started good. Oh, man, if he comes to Chicharito, man.
Yeah.
No.
Land over. There is another World Cup qualifier coming up between the U.S. and Honduras. Honduras is having a bit of...
You can't even bring up the name.
A bit of a tough time in these qualifiers. They were, I believe, in last place. But look, this match is obviously going to be very, very difficult. But anything can happen in these qualifiers. The one thing that is interesting is that this game will be in Minnesota. Yeah, it's going to be very, very cold. Yeah. Honduras is not a cold country by
any means. Are they training at the tops of mountains? How are they going to do this?
They don't even have a place to train. No, honestly, dude, like I was literally last night going through, you know, like the images of the trainings in every, like, of every team. And whenever I saw like Jordan Morris, which he's back, his experienced guy, like with the snow and everything, I was like, in Ohio, it's going to be in the 30s. But in Minnesota, for El Salvador, for guys, they're going to freeze their boom, right? But then for Honduras, it's going to be 3 degrees. Like the coldest you get in Honduras, it would be, I don't know, 72, 70.
Wow.
So no, it's going to be brutal. But you know what? I think that was bad of U.S. soccer, not because of Honduras or El Salvador. I think it's bad for the U.S. team. Why would you make it harder for them? I mean, you have the U.S. like players in Europe. I mean, Chelsea, Juventus, Leipzig, Barcelona. And they're not just part of the team. They're playing, okay? Right. They're playing at those clubs. And then you have Honduras, like, horrible team. Like, the quality is just like, it's like, I don't know, comparing... El Olimpia with Manchester City, like something like that. And you have to go to a cold place? Come on.
Yeah,
I think it's just...
Yeah, no. I wonder what you're, you know, even as Latinos, we think about it as well, because, you know, U.S. soccer is they're strategizing, right? They play in places where they don't think that the away support will be too high. And we know Latinos are everywhere. OK, we love this country just as much as anybody else.
We'll find a way.
We'll get there. But it is always seems to be this strategy where sometimes it can feel a little bit. Look, it insulting in a way that the games are always in these cities where they think that there's less of that Latino, like, you know, contingency.
And that was in the old times when nobody cared about U.S. soccer in the States. Now, now if you have good soccer, people are going to support them. Like, I used to ask my friends, hey, why don't you support a U.S. team? Why don't you know about the U.S. team? And they said, because they suck, they never win. But they now they have good players. Now they're falling in love with their team. So I just don't get it. I mean, I get the point where, okay, if I take them to Florida, it's going to be full of Central Americans. But they also are going to have a lot of U.S. supporters.
I think they don't want to happen in the last cycle where at Rebel Arena against Costa Rica and it lost, I believe, 2-0, 2-1.
But that's one city where there's a ton of Costa Ricense. I mean, good God. It's like playing the Mexican national team at the Rose Bowl. I mean, you might as well just not even do it. And I agree with Anna. Why? You know, it's not like the Honduran team has to play in 3 degrees and the U.S. team gets to play in 70. We're all in the same cold weather. This sucks for them. This also sucks for us.
Yeah, exactly. And they're getting, they're getting injuries and stuff. So can you imagine in the cold? Like, why would you do that to your players? No.
Oh, you know how hard the ground gets?
It's an advantage for the U.S. team, and I get it, and I support if they're doing that because, hey, whenever they go to San Pedro Sula, it's freaking 100 degrees, and they're like getting like ahogados, like they can't even breathe because it's so hot. So I get it, and I support that. But I think when you go to Ohio, it's one thing, so that's okay. But Minnesota, like, I'm sorry, that I'm curious to see if people are going to go to the stadium in St. Paul.
I mean, if we see a huge section of like Hondureños, just like you made it all the way out.
No, they're gonna be there. Yeah. Okay. They're going to be there. Because yesterday, I was just talking about this yesterday on my Facebook, and I'm like, hey, I blah, 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 whatever I was saying. I don't even remember exactly what I was posting, but a lot of Hondurans. Oh, I live here and it's being down. I think in a tent. Oh, it's going to get cold. And I'm like, there's Honduran people there. So they're going to go anyway.
You won't see anything but their eyes as they're just covered in layers of scarves. Yeah, but they'll be blue and white. There will be blue and white everywhere. When you obviously get to cover so many amazing sports, being part of Telemundo, obviously football has to be your favorite. But what's your favorite competition to I guess, be a part of? Is it the World Cup? Is it the Olympics?
My favorite, that's a really tough question. I think the biggest, of course, there's nothing bigger than the World Cup. I mean, whenever we were in Russia, I remember the Egypt games. We watched for half a million people watching an Egypt game when Mo Salah is not playing. Remember when Ramos broke him? So we were like, people are watching this game. So it is amazing because nothing is bigger than the World Cup. But I think as a fan of sports, a sports fanatic, and as a journalist, I think it's more rewarding the Olympics. Because when in the Olympics, you have to learn about a lot of sports that you're... I mean, I didn't grow up talking about triple jump or, I don't know, hockey sobre césped or... I mean, there's over 1,000 athletes and 90% of them are unknown. Like, nobody knows about them. Yeah. So we have to know every story. And it's not like you can Google, I'm going to Google Juanita Perez in triple jump and you're going to get it. Because they're not famous, you know? They're just, so you have to dig and do your homework in a different way. You have to really get in it, and sometimes you're gonna be talking about soccer or I don't know whatever else, gymnastics, and you think they're a sport or a discipline is not gonna be important, and all of a sudden one of us Latinos is doing something amazing we have to cut to whatever, like this time in Tokyo, I remember, guys, we have to go to badminton. And I'm like, badminton? And freaking Kevin Cordon from Guatemala was kicking ass. I'm sorry, can I say kicking ass?
Yeah,
okay. Kevin Cordon was kicking ass. And I'm like, yes, I did my homework on badminton. Yeah. I can talk about it. So it's rewarding because you see that it's worth it, you know, like yeah. every single thing.
And that is such a great feeling. Like, even if we're not the same kind of Latino from that country, mm-hmm. it's just like, I'm supporting Kevin because
yeah. he, yeah. Well, I love him. If there was a Honduran curling team, I'd be yeah. behind him all the way. Just, I would love to see that just get called by the same guy who yells, go.
And this is what yeah. I love about Latino networks is that there's something to the Latino experience that networks like Telemundo can capture, where it's the pride is in, who knows exactly what the pride is in that we all speak Spanish, that we eat arroz con habichuela. Like there's yeah. something that bonds us, and we're like, we need to support this young man or woman at these games.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. It was really amazing. To me, the Olympics are everything. Like, you get in at the end, because there's like long days, like 16 hour days when you're just talking about game after game after game, and then go to that, and then what was this? And so at the end of the day, you say, hey, you know what? All that work, it was completely worth it. And yeah. you think, hey, who's going to care about if we talk about badminton or not? But then you get like their cousins or someone in their barrio yeah. saw it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's on Telemundo. We're going to tag it. And, yeah. and sending you all those posts. Yeah. And it's really nice. It feels like I'm in the TV of the old times, where it was really, really, it really mattered. Whatever we were saying.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. All right, Anna, that was absolutely incredible. Thank you so much for everything so far. We have to
Thank you. We have to
get to our Golazo GIF right now. This is your opportunity to celebrate a goal on our television show that we will clip and turn into a GIF that will live on the internet forever.
Oh, no.
So, Alexis will give you a scenario, and you feel free to celebrate this goal however you like. Alexis, what do you suggest?
I think here's a good scenario. Let's say you're playing just a fun weekend game. You're playing a little bit of soccer. Yet for some reason, somebody says, Anna, if your team wins, Honduras qualifies for the World Cup. Now, you, in the last second, happen to score a beautiful free kick, goes right in the top corner, and you look over and you realize, Honduras is going to the World Cup. How do you celebrate?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Do I do it now?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Last minute goal?
Yes.
Corner kick, you said?
Yep.
Okay. Here you go.
Here's, by the way, don't ever, if you're going to rob, you are going to get hit with hair and 1,000 kicks. If you mug Anayorka, you're going to die from 1,000 kicks.
Right. She will attack you with all four limbs at once.
Yeah. who is the girl in Street Fighter?
I don't remember,
the,
man.
The rapid
Chun-Li?
Kicks.
Chun-Li?
I don't remember.
Chun-Li, right?
Dude, oh, man. Don't play with my feelings. Yeah. That's really mean. You know Honduras won't qualify.
That's what Golazo gives us all about.
We're trying to keep the dream alive.
I have double nationality. I can root for the U.S. You're going to qualify.
There you go.
You're going to qualify.
You get to root for us.
Anna, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute honor. We're huge fans of you. Huge fans of all your work. Is there anything you want to let people know about before we let you go?
You have to watch the World Cup qualifying games. I mean, we have Mexico, Jamaica. Poor Tata Martino, he needs to win that game. If not, all the love for the Argentina is going to be like, no. They're going to make him a choripan if he doesn't win that game. And well, what else? I don't know. Follow me on my social media. I'm going to start next month. I'm starting my own podcast. It's going to be called Sex, Sports, and a Little Bit More. So I'm going to be telling you everything about it.
Okay. I mean, look, That covers everything in life. All those things. Right?
Exactly.
That's my list. You know? I mean, pizza is the only thing I'd add.
Anna, thank you so much. And again, everybody follow Anna at Anna Yurka on all social channels as well. You can follow us at Soccer Cooligans and make sure to subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for more clips and episodes of the show. All right. Anna, let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. Thank you again for joining us. So for Anna Yurka, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!